Well, good morning. I know that you want a Christmas message on this Christmas week coming up, right? Well, you're going to have to wait for Pastor, okay? So we're, Pastor called me yesterday, and I know how it is because I've done this to him several times where I was supposed to preach, right? And can't help getting sick, right? So we're just trading positions here, but we're not going to have necessarily a Christmas message. We'll throw some Christmas application in there. But if you would turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4, this morning. Make sure this is working here. Sound guys, if you could tell me, is this on? It's on. Great. Wonderful. Okay. Wonderful. Well, turn your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. We're going to look at a very important passage of Scripture here this morning. I know that Pastor has done, I think, an in-depth study on Joshua. I know that Dr. Rickard has done an in-depth study on Joshua. And now you have my in-depth study in one message, okay? So, but we're going to look at Joshua chapter 4, and we're going to let the Word of God speak to our hearts this morning through the Word and through the Spirit. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much this morning for the opportunity to be here to share the Word of God. Oh, what a heavy responsibility it is, but what a joy it is to share your truth this Christmas season. Father, I pray you continue to bless our church, continue to strengthen us. Lord, I pray for anybody who's here today who might not be saved, that you would encourage them of the importance of trusting you as a personal Savior. Lord, we ask that you continue to work in our lives and help us to have tender hearts to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that was a couple years ago now, so I can share this illustration. A couple years ago, I was at the Memorial Day picnic at Amazing Grace Baptist Camp. I was at Amazing Grace Baptist Camp like I do every morning. I got up, the clothes on, you know, went out the door. I didn't really think about what I was wearing. But I went out the door. You know, Memorial Day is a very, very somber day. It's a very somber day. You know, people have given their lives for our country. And so I was there, and I was at the picnic, and I was walking around, and one of our church members went up to me, came up to me and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "What are you talking about? I'm just going to eat the picnic food. I'm going to have a good time with family." He said, "No, what are you doing?" And this man looked at me, and he said, "You're wearing an Ireland shirt. It's Memorial Day." I looked down and I said, "Oh, yeah, oh, wow." Okay, so a little awkward moment there. And Brother Ryan Duvier, I appreciate that help and counsel from him. And so he said, "Hey, what in the world are you doing?" I said, "Oh, man," you know. So it's kind of awkward. It's Memorial Day, you know. I'm supposed to remember America. And the rest of the day, here I am, my Ireland shirt. You know, I don't want anybody else to notice. And I'm embarrassed. And maybe you've been there before. You've done something like that embarrassing. But I still remember that. That was several years ago, and it was Memorial Day. You know, memorials are wonderful things, aren't they? Memorials are great things when it comes to our Christian heritage. Oh, when it comes to our country, memorials are wonderful. How many of you ever visited Washington, D.C.? Okay, quite a few. Washington, D.C., I visited years ago when I was a senior in high school. We had a senior class trip, and we went to the Lincoln Memorial. I remember going there and seeing Abraham Lincoln and thinking, wow, that's massive. You know, walking by, looking up at him and just reading all the literature that was there and just having a great time. I remember going to the Holocaust Museum, just sobering, going there and going and reading about the history and reading all that. And man, it just blew my mind. But they had those memorials there for us not to forget, right? For us to remember what happened in our country or in our world. And to be thankful for those that gave their lives, right? To be thankful for those that allowed us to be able to do that. Memorials, overall, are things that really are there for us to remember, okay? They're there for us to remember. I've put in here, memorial is, it's something, it's a structure established to remind people of a person or an event. Just a simple definition, but the idea is that it's really just a structure to help us remember a person or an exact event. Well, you know, it's important for us to remember certain things in our life. There are some things we don't want to remember. There are some things we don't set up memorials for. There are some memories we want to put out of our mind. But the Bible is clear here. As we look at Joshua chapter 4, it teaches us a principle about remembering things that God does in our life. And if you're anything like me, some of you can attest to this, you know me. If you're anything like me, you begin to forget the things that God has done for you in the past. You began to forget the great things he's done for you, the answers to prayers, those moments of victory where you were just on cloud nine. And you remember those. You remember them back then. Back then, you remember they were just like, but now it's like, I don't remember exactly. It's kind of foggy. I don't remember all the details.
But I want you to look here this morning. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 4. We're going to look at a man who God was making in this book. He was making him. In Joshua chapter 1, we see that Joshua is now the new leader of Israel. The Bible says that Moses, my servant, is what, everybody? He's dead. He's dead. Now, Moses was a great person. In fact, Moses, can you imagine going after Moses? Moses was someone who was able to talk with God, right? The glory of God shone on him, right? When they had to cover his face. Moses was said to be buried by God himself. It's pretty amazing. Moses also said, as he got older, that he did not age, right? The idea that Moses did not age, I mean, he was an incredible man. He led these, 2 million people through the wilderness. He had the opportunity to have the manna come down, had the opportunity to have the Red Sea part. I mean, he had all these miracles associated with this amazing man. And who's next? Joshua. And those are big sandals to fill. And that's a big personality to fill. That's a tough opportunity there. But you know what? Moses and Joshua had the same God. Moses and Joshua had the same opportunity, the chance to see God work in them and through them. But you know, I don't think Joshua felt so good about it at first. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 6, the Bible says, God says, hey, be strong. Verse number 7, he says, be thou strong. In verse number 9 of chapter 1, he says, be strong. And in verse number 18, he says, only be strong. You know, God had to encourage Joshua to say, hey, you know what? I worked with Moses, and I can work with you. Remember how Moses started? Lord, I can't speak, right? I can't do that, right? The burning bush, I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. And he gives all these excuses, and God says, hey, I'll be with you. You see, the thing about Moses is that along the way in his life, no doubt about it, in his life, he made decisions, he set up memorials in his life that he would follow God. And the children of Israel had pictures and snapshots of what Moses had done, the memorials he had set up in his life. They might not have been physical memorials, they might not have been altars everywhere, but people had memories and they had pictures of what Moses had done for God. And as we get here into Joshua chapter 4, we see that there's an opportunity here to look at a memorial made by Joshua and the people of Israel. I don't want to minimize the memorials that we have in our world today. I don't want to minimize the wonderful memorials. Those are so important. But this morning, I want to maximize the memorials of Joshua chapter 4 and help us understand these are important for us to put in our own lives as well. Psalm 71, verse 1 says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. Psalm 105, verse 5 says, remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Psalm 143, verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. You see, in those passages, scriptures in the Psalms, the idea is that we are supposed to reflect, we're supposed to think about, muse over the wonders of God in our life. And what better time than the Christmas season to think about the wonderful works of God in our life, to think about the wonderful blessing of God working in our life. I want you to see, first of all, this morning, in this passage of Scripture, we see a priority of setting up the memorial. The priority of setting up the memorial. I want you to see it's very important to God because, first of all, God commands it. God commands them to do it. You know, Joshua is there. You can picture him on the other side of Jordan. He's getting ready to enter the land, right? They're about to enter the land. They've got this obstacle that they have to cross, and they have to get to the other side. And Joshua has the pressure that any leader has to deal with. He has to deal with the people complaining. He has to deal with things going wrong. You know, I've told pastors several times, I love being assistant pastor because you get to take all the final pressures there, right? You can say, hey, let's ask pastor, right? Let's see what pastor says about that. It's just a different mindset. But when you're the leader and you're the last one in charge, you have to make the final decisions. So Joshua is up the night before, and he's recognizing, hey, we got to go across this obstacle, this Jordan River. We've got to go across this river. This is going to be tough. This is going to be hard. I'm not sure what God is going to do here, but I trust that God's going to do something wonderful for me. You know, God does an incredible thing. You know the story. God allows the Jordan River to part, right? It parts. In fact, the Bible tells us, look at verse number 16. I want us to see this. Verse number 16. In chapter 4, chapter 3, verse 16, chapter 3. It says that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam, okay, a specific city, that is beside Zetan, okay? They came, those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea failed and were cut off, and the people passed over right against Jericho. So the idea here is that the waters split to a specific place, the city of Adam, Zetan there, and the waters went that far. Okay, so they went, it's not just a matter of they just went through just a little tunnel there and a few people went through. No, they spread for over a mile, okay, over a mile wide. The people were able to go through and they were able to cross to the other side. But God commands Joshua to do something special on this day, to set up a memorial. To do something, he commands to say, I want you to do something special. And here's a memorial he wants them to do. Look at verse number one of chapter 4. Verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take ye 12 men out of the people of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. The idea is that he wants them to get 12 stones. He wants them, every tribe to get one man, specific man that was prepared, and to take that stone and to use it as a memorial to make one altar for the Lord. You know, sometimes we have a place in our lives where we think, hey, I'm not sure what God is going to do here. And we have to trust God before we cross that obstacle that he's going to do something. God commands them that they need to do something special, that he's going to do a work, and they have to prepare themselves by faith to be ready for God to do the work. You know, Joshua believed before they ever crossed the Jordan that they were going to cross the Jordan. You know, he believed that they were going to be able to make it across, that they were going to do that before they ever did that. Why? Because he trusted God. He believed that God was doing something special in his life, and God commanded him, and he believed it. You know, Joshua listened right away and did exactly what God told him to do. You know, that's the first thing I see is God commanded that memorial. But God not only commanded it, God planned it, right? He orchestrated it. He gave them the exact orders we just read about that they needed. Gave them the exact things they needed. They needed all those stones, did exactly what they needed, the exact amount. And he had a reason for it. Okay, he had a reason. He wanted everybody to be involved. You know, not all the tribes were the same size. Not all the tribes, you know, had the same opportunities, but here he wanted every tribe to have a part in this memorial. He wanted every tribe to say, hey, look at what God did for our tribe. Hey, look at what God did for us. And then to go down and say, hey, look what God has done for each family, each individual, because it was a priority on the mind of God. You see, when God commands things in Scripture, commands us to do things, it's very important. So God has commanded us, as believers, to set up memorials in our life as well. John 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Hey, if you love me, follow what I tell you to do. John 15:14 says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. So Joshua's in a place where he's obeying God. He has an opportunity. He sees there's a priority. It's very, very important for him to set up this memorial. You know, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes in my life, there's things that God may want me to do. And I don't want to do them. There's certain, maybe a place or a person that God wants me to speak to, and I don't want to do that because I have my own plans or my own thoughts. But the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than ours. And the understanding is that we can't completely understand what God wants to do through us. Sometimes we have to step out in faith and trust the Lord. You see, that's what those priests did. The priests walked out to the Jordan River and they stepped out in faith. And as their feet touched the water, as they went to the water, the Bible says that that's when the water went across. As they went and touched the water, then the water parted for miles. Why? They took that step of faith. And here this morning, if we're going to be setting up memorials for God, we have to take steps of faith in our life to be able to have those memorials. To be able to say, hey, this is what God has done for us. You know what? We don't have memorials in our life. We don't have spiritual times we look back on our life and say, man, that was amazing, unless we're taking steps of faith, unless we're stepping out and we're trusting God to do incredible things. You look throughout Scripture and you look throughout the Bible, guess what? The man of God that did great things for God, they had to step out in faith. The Word tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible. He's a rewarder of them that what? That diligently seek him. What does that mean? They put a priority on God. This Christmas season, you know of the wise men. I just mentioned some things this morning to our teenagers, but the wise men. The wise men had a priority. They had a priority. They weren't Jewish, right? They probably read some of the Old Testament, read the book of Daniel, read different passages, but they had a priority. They had tunnel vision. What did they want to do? They wanted to get to that Messiah. It was a priority for them. And so they were able to go, and they were able to find the place, Jerusalem. They were able to get there, and they were able to go and find Jesus, get to his house, and worship the Messiah, the Son of God. Why? Because it was a priority. Now we think about the wise men today, and guess what? When we think about a memorial of the wise men, some people think of gold, they think of frankincense, and they think of myrrh, right? But really, the memorial of the wise men was what? They were diligently seeking Jesus. What do we remember the wise men for? They were seeking after Jesus. Whatever it took, whatever place they were at, they had tunnel vision to say, I just want to find the Messiah, the Son of God. And that ought to be a desire in our lives, to have a priority. They're the priority. Now, here's the second thing here. Not only is there a priority in this passage of Scripture, but there's a purpose. There's a purpose here for Joshua setting up the memorial. What is the purpose? Let me jump in here. There's a purpose. I mean, that's nice. Gets the stones. Everyone puts a stone down. They grab a big stone and they put it together. They put it on the other side, okay, in Gilgal. They put it over there. And that's the goal. At the end of the day, get those 12 stones. But the purpose is found here. First of all, it's a time for the next generation to remember this miracle. It's a time for the next generation to remember this miracle. There's kids that wouldn't remember everything, right? There were kids that would be born after this. They wouldn't remember this day. And this was a sign. This is a physical memorial for them to come back and say, oh, yeah, I remember what God did there. Dad told me that. Hey, that's exactly what you're talking about, Dad. Hey, Grandpa, that's what you're talking about. I remember what you're saying there. Joshua 4:6, this is where it says it. That this might be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off from before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for memorial unto the children of Israel forever. It's a wonderful, distinct miracle for them to show them. I mean, this is what God is doing in our lives. This is what God did in our life. He did something special in our life. You know, it can be nice for teenagers to say, hey, Mom and Dad had a great walk with God. They have a great walk with God, right? Sometimes you hear adults say, oh man, Grandma, she was so godly, right? Grandpa, he was so godly. He was such a godly man. That's good, right? But the purpose of these stones, this memorial, was to say, well, not just Grandpa should be godly. Not just Grandma should be godly. Hey, not just father and mother should be godly, but no, the children and the children's children, right? They should be godly. And it's a sign to say, hey, you ought to seek after God. It's a priority in our lives. You know, you as a godly grandfather, a godly grandmother, you are a living memorial to your children and your grandchildren, right? You're a living memorial as you walk, as you're talking about God, as you sit down and talk about God. They see you and they say, that's what Jesus would say, right? Hey, that's how Jesus would act. The idea that you're growing in the Lord and you're walking with God, they remember the things that you've done. Hey, that's important for us to understand. It was a sign for the children. But not just a sign for the children. It was another sign. It was a sign for all the world to know the mighty acts of God. You see, that stone, those stones in Gilgal, as they put them together, God wanted everyone to know, we're coming, right? We're coming. God wanted the enemies, as they came into the land of Canaan, to say, hey, this is God doing this. You see, he started with a miracle coming into the Canaan that nobody else could do, only God could do. And as the people watched from the other side, as the spies watched from the other side, as they looked, they said, well, that's a powerful God. That's not the people, that's their God. You see, it was a sign for all the world to know. You say, where do you see that? Joshua chapter 4, verse 21. Joshua chapter 4, verse 21. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then shall ye let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he drieth up from before us until we were gone over. And verse 24, here's where he finishes this very climactic thought right here. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You see, it was understandable that the people that were in the other land would fear. The people that were on the other side, that were spies, that they were going to be taken over, they would fear. But you know what he finishes off with? He said that this memorial is a sign not just for all the world to fear, but it's also a sign that you might fear as well. That you might know the mighty acts of God. The purpose for the memorial there was that the world would see, and that the Jews themselves, the Israelites, would see themselves that they had a God that was all-powerful. Let me ask you this. Are you didn't remind this morning that your life is a living testament of God working in you and through you? Didn't remind you this morning that you are a memorial of Christianity? Proverbs 22:1 says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. You see, as a youth pastor, sometimes when I work with the teens, I love teenagers. That's my favorite group to preach to. I just love teens. I love the connection that you can get with them. One thing about teens that I love is the teens, man, their hearts, they're tender. They're tender to the preaching of God's word. They're ready. They're receptive to the word of God. And they're at that point in their life where they're making critical decisions in their life. And it's so neat to say, hey, this is what the word of God says. Here's what you need to do. But you know what's really neat when working with teenagers? It's not just working with teenagers, but when a teenager comes to me and says, hey, God is working in my life. Hey, God is doing a mighty act in my life. They don't use those words, a mighty act, but they say, hey, God is doing something special in my life. Hey, Pastor, let me tell you what God did, what prayer he answered in my life. Hey, Pastor, let me tell you what God did. Hey, here, I mean, it's so exciting to see what God is doing in their lives, but you know what? They're experiencing what they're supposed to for themselves, not just because of mom and dad or grandma and grandpa. The idea is they say, hey, this is something that is true to me. That's when the world sees the mighty acts of God, when each believer, individual believer, has a walk with God. But you know what? That's what ties in secondly to our next memorial. You see, the first memorial, that idea was that one that God commanded. God commanded the first memorial. But the second memorial, there's in this passage of Scripture, there was no command. The second memorial was actually from the leader Joshua. Joshua made his own memorial, didn't he? He decided that he was going to go into the Jordan River. He was going to go to the Jordan River, and he was going to go into the middle of the river on the dry ground, the firm ground there, and he was going to make his own altar, right? He was going to put it there right in the middle where he saw God work. You know what? It was important to him that God did a work in the hearts of all the Israelites. It was important that God was working in the lives of others. But you know what was really special about Joshua? He wanted God to work in his life. See, Joshua had seen God work. He had seen God answer this prayer. He got across the Jordan River, and he didn't want to forget what God was doing in his life. Folks, we don't want to forget what God is doing in our lives individually. We don't want to forget, hey, the work he's done. Maybe we're struggling with some areas of sin, and God has given you victory over that sin. I mean, he has given you victory. It's the power of God. And you can say, it is by God's grace and by God's strength that I'm not in bondage to this sin anymore. It's a great time to praise the Lord personally this Christmas season. It could be the fact that you say, hey, you know what? I have a loved one that I've been praying for, and God has saved them. Maybe that happened 10, 15 years ago, but you pray for them for years. It's a time to say Christmas season, thank you, Lord. I'm building memorial. I never want to forget the wonderful works that you've done in my life. You know, years ago, right before I came here, I was looking to go into evangelism. A lot of you don't know this, but I was looking to go into evangelism. I was looking to go to churches and preach to teenagers. That was my heartbeat, just preach to teenagers, and kind of that was kind of my niche, you know, just kind of go and figure out how I could just preach to teens. And so I sent three letters out. I sent one out to Bill Rice Ranch. How many of you heard of Bill Rice Ranch? So I sent one out there. And I said, hey, I'm willing. You don't know who I am. you probably don't care about me, you know, whatever. But I'm willing to help out any way you want, you know, to kind of get a foot in evangelism. And give that letter and never got a note back. So that was that one. Then I wrote a letter. And I wrote them all at the same time. I wrote one to Camp Kobiak up in Michigan, a camp, Christian camp. And I said the same thing. Hey, wrote a nice note, had some references. Hey, I'd love to help out any way possible. I'm a young man. I'm getting out of seminary here. You know, what does God want? And I remember writing that letter and sent it off. Nothing back. Wrote a third letter, First Baptist Church in Michigan, First Baptist Church, Michigan, Bridgeport. Went up there and actually replied and said, hey, why don't you come up? Why don't you come up? And while I was in the process there, I remember it was right at the same time when I was sending the letters off and I hadn't heard back yet. I had seen that Calvary Baptist Church was up there on the email. They have like a thing for pastors to kind of look for churches. And I saw that Calvary Baptist Church in Ottawa was on there. And I remember thinking, that's the church I was just at. That's Ottawa. Wow, they need a youth pastor. You know, that's cool. You know, so I thought I'll just kind of type there. Now, the situation when I was there, it was a different pastor at the time. And so I didn't think much of it at the time. But I just quickly, you know, typed it out. You know, hey, I'm the guy that wrecked your bus 2 times in 1 day. If you don't mind, I'd love to try to take care of your children. So it was amazing because Pastor Greg just, I mean, it was probably, I kid you not, but 30 seconds later, he was by his, just typed back, sure, I remember you, you know, sure. I'm like, okay, you remember me? Sure, that's cool. And situation worked out where the Church of Michigan was, I took that opportunity. I said, you know, I probably should take this. This is what I was looking to do, evangelism. This is what I wanted to do. And so I went to that church, and the church was like, pastor said, hey, that's great. You know, that's great. We want you. Went up there, candidated, all that stuff. And he, you know, when I left, had the mindset that, hey, we're going to be there in Michigan. That's what we'll do. We'll do evangelism out of there. And so I went back and ended up coming back to the church in Alabama I was working at and got a call from the pastor on a Sunday afternoon. He said, hey, you know what? I was just talking with my staff, you know, some different issues, but I think we're not going to do it right now. And we were already set up. We were very pretty much, you know, good to go. And I thought, what are you doing? You know, Lord, what are you doing? That's what I want to do. But I had one opportunity left. It was Calvary Baptist Church. I thought, Calvary Baptist Church, you know, Calvary Baptist Church. Oh, man, I'll do it. You know, I already felt like there were some things to pass up. I said, hey, pastor, I know I didn't choose you first, but I got shut down on the other one, you know, basically. Kind of crawled back, you know. And so, you know, pastor graciously said, oh, no, we're very interested. You know, come out. And it all worked out. But I remember just thinking about that, talking about memorials this morning, thinking about how God used that in my life, be able to come out to Calvary in his last whatever many years, use that opportunity. When I came out here, some things happened, specifically that night when I preached, some awesome things that God used as a memorial in my life that week to say, hey, this is the place where God wants me to be. And it was just awesome. It was just awesome to see and to set up a memorial. And honestly, from there, I look back there, and it's one of those times in my life where I've set up a memorial, not a physical altar or anything, but where in my mind, I have put a memorial to say, hey, I remember that day, honestly, like it was yesterday. And I don't have a very good memory, but I remember, hey, that's God clearly led me here. More in my life. Now, I think some of you can do that in your lives. You can remember times when God led you in certain areas and helped you. Well, Joshua here specifically says, hey, this is the day I never want to forget. I never want to forget this day where God has allowed me to be magnified, right? To be magnified amongst the people, God's people. Joshua's magnified. The people are like, man, Joshua's our man. Hey, the idea is that Joshua is verified. He's verified the presence of God is upon his life. They now say, hey, this is him. He's magnified, but then they say, hey, he's definitely the one we want. And then also, as they cross the Jordan, it demoralizes the enemies, you know? And I'm not sure, I'm not going to say that's all mine, those 3 points. I made it from a commentary. I'm not sure. I don't have notes on that. So I'm not saying those are mine, but I will just say those are great points. The idea that Joshua was magnified, hey, he was verified by God's presence, and also he was used there to demoralize the enemy. You know, God was working in Joshua's life in some amazing ways, but guess what? God is still working in our lives today. He's working. Joshua 4:14, the Bible says, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. Man, Joshua, now they feared Moses. It was like a transition, like, hey, just like they feared Moses, now they fear Joshua. The priests followed him. The people of whole followed him. In fact, the children of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, who had got their home on the other side, they had already set up shop on the other side, they said, you know, we promised to fight to Moses. We'll keep that promise. We'll honor it. We see that you're a leader like him, and we're going to follow as well. And they followed him as a whole, and God blessed him that day. You know, it's very important for us to remember what God has done for us. Maybe you can remember in the New Testament a very, very similar situation in the sense of a memorial. Maybe you can remember the book of Matthew, where the word memorial is used. And I understand it's in the Greek, but really it has the same idea. Matthew 26:13. Would you turn your Bibles there as we finish up here this morning? Matthew 26:13. I want us to see the memorial here in the New Testament that was there for an individual. I'll wait there for a moment there. Matthew 26:13. That's a text verse. I'm going to read a few verses before that. Verse number 6. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this that this woman hath done be told for memorial of her. He said, this woman here is not named in the text. This woman here puts the box of ointment, as we know, a year's wage on the Lord Jesus Christ's feet. She washes his feet with her hair, and she makes this great sacrifice, this gift for God. She gives really her all. She breaks the box. She says, hey, this is for God. I'm giving everything I have. And Jesus said, this is going to be her memorial, that she hath done all that she could, right? She did everything that she could for God. Can I just tell you, there's a link between Joshua and between this lady here. The link is this. I believe they both did all that they could for God as a whole. They did everything that they could for God as a whole. They said, we're going to do everything we have to make sure that our lives count for God. You know, I think as parents today, whether older parents that have older kids, grown kids, or whether young parents, I think every one of us here would say, hey, we want our kids to go on for the Lord. Hey, we want our kids to love Jesus. We want our kids to be on fire. We want to keep them out of the sin of this world. We want them to do something great for God. You know, we all want to get to Joshua 24. You know those paintings on the wall, right? As for me and my house, right? We will serve the Lord. But we never get to that point if we're not setting up memorials along the way where our kids can see the hand of God. You know, I pray for my kids on a regular basis. Lord, help my kids have God moments in their life where they see you. Hey, where they see it in their life, where they see you answer a prayer, where they see you do something special in their life, where you come upon them in a special way. And then maybe someone who's lost, who's not saved, and I pray, hey, for my children, hey, if they're not saved, again, save them at a young age. Hey, if you have an older teenager, if you've got a college student, if you've got an adult that's out of the home that's not saved, man, God's not done with them. Pray that God would do a work. Continue to build some memorials, build some opportunities to say, hey, here's what God's doing in my life. Share with them this Christmas season, here's what God's done for me. Let me just share some great thoughts there. I think it's important application-wise for us to understand that God is doing a work in our lives. If he's not working in our lives, it's hard for us, right, to set up memorials in our lives along the way. Matthew 26:13 is a New Testament idea of a memorial. Now, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 4, and when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. He's talking about Cornelius, Gentile, right? He what is it, Lord? Hey, your alms, your prayers, what are they? They're a memorial for me. I remember. You know what? This is going to be said of you, Cornelius, that you gave your alms, you prayed, you worshiped me, right? Even before you were saved, and Peter got sent to Cornelius' house. Why? Because God says it's important for us to do the things for him. Those are the things that are going to be remembered. You know, set up memorials along the way, and don't forget the miraculous works that God has done in your life. Here's how you do it, and we'll be down here this morning. Here you go. Ready? Just three practical ways as we finish up this morning. Be intentional about setting up memorials along the way as a family or as an individual. Be intentional. Make decisions. Say, hey, I'm going to remember this day specifically. And again, if you're not doing that, you're probably not going to do it. Say, I'm going to make some memorials, remember what God has done here. Be regular. Share the mighty works that God has done in your life with others. And then finally, be creative. Be creative about setting up memorials. There's different things you can do. I know there's different families that honestly have different ways of remembering certain things that God has done in their lives. But maybe it's when a child's gotten saved, they do something special for that day. And maybe it's when they're celebrating Christmas, they do something different special as a family to remember that day as a memorial, specific about certain things. Maybe it's a birthday, just a regular birthday, but you do something special on their birthday, their physical birthday, to help them remember God's blessing in their life. But there's ways we can do that. I mean, the sky's the limit, but get creative about setting up memorials along the way in the lives of your family members. You see, Joshua was an incredible man of God, but again, he needed that strengthening of God just like anybody else. He needed that encouragement of God like anybody else. So this morning, it's just to be an encouragement. It's just to be a blessing. To say, hey, keep remembering what God is doing in your life. Don't forget. Let me ask you this morning. Maybe you say here this morning, God's not really doing much in my life right now. You may be here this morning and say, God's not really doing much. There's not much happening spiritually in my home right now. There's not much happening spiritually in my life right now. Friend, that can change. If you're here today in this Christmas season, you say, Pastor Nate, I don't know if I die today where I'm going. I'm not 100% sure. You know, I know about religion. I kind of know about the Bible, or I know about Jesus. Maybe you say, hey, I know Christians. But the truth is this. If I die today, Pastor Nate, I'm not sure if I die today where I'm going. I'm not 100% sure. The Bible tells us that you can know for sure. And not because of anything good that you have done or anything good that I have done. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then not of yourselves, right? It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should set up a memorial and say, hey, I built this memorial. Hey, yes, I did this. I made this great architectural work here. No, the idea is that God did it all. God saved me. The Bible tells us in Romans 10, 9, and 10, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's about a month ago, I had a young man I've been working with, college student I've been working with. He sent me a text and said, Pastor Nate, I want to talk to you. I texted him real quick, said, I'm praying for you. He texted me back really quickly. And he said, hey, Pastor Nate, I want to talk to you right now. God is working my life. Now, this young man is not saved. He's a friend of mine, but he needs to be saved. He goes to a secular college in Emporia. And we had some great conversations, but he texted me, and so I called him back. It was probably an hour later. I called him back and said, hey, and I said his name, and I said, how you doing, man? He said, I'm doing great. He said, I have an opportunity at this college. It's a Christian Bible study. I've been hearing some things about God. He said, I'm this close to getting saved. I'm this close to getting saved. You know what? I said, man, he said, I think I'm going to do it really soon. I explained to him, hey, man, if God is working in your heart right now and you're convicted of your sin, you should do it now. if you're convicted of your sin, you probably should ask the Lord to save you now. Again, it has to be a personal choice. You can't do it because of me. You can't do it because of anybody else. It has to be something you want to do because you know you're a sinner and you need to do it. You know, the young man said, I appreciate it, Pastor Nate. I think I'm going to do it here before the new year. You know, well, he hung up and, you know, I've been praying for him since. As far as I know, in a conversation, he has not been saved. He's not been saved since. Friend, let me just tell you, to start building memorials in your life, the first thing you got to do is admit, you know what? That you can't do anything without Jesus Christ. You can't do anything apart from him. You got to come on your knees and say, I need a Savior. He's the only one who can save me. I need to be saved from my sins. You got to see yourself as a sinner. You can't be looking at that person and say, hey, that person's worse, or that person's done a lot, you know, bad, worse things than me. You know, you have to be able to say, no, I know that I'm a sinner, and Jesus died for me so I can be saved. Hey, the greatest Christmas season, the first thing you can do in this Christmas season, the best thing you can do as an unbeliever is to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. Hey, that's the first memorial of your life, really. That's when life begins in the sense of spiritually where you have that new life, you have that new purpose, you have that new goal. The Bible says, the Bible very clear that all things are passed away and all things are become new when you become a child of God. It's an important thing to understand this Christmas season. Jesus is the one who can change your life. But you know what? You have to be able to trust Christ on your own. You see, we don't believe here at Cal Baptist Church that a priest can save you. We don't believe that you can save yourself. We lean only on the precious blood of Jesus Christ and faith alone and grace alone in Jesus. So friend, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, that's the gift that God wants to give you today. That's the first memorial that God wants you to set up in your life today. And friend, if you're here today and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, It may be that you need to set up some personal memorials in your life and ask God to do some works in your heart. Maybe some things you need to get out of your life to say, Lord, I'm focusing on other things that aren't important. Let me start setting up some spiritual road signs, some memorials along the way that you're doing some great things in my life. Let's not forget the works that God is doing in our lives. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning and to share your word. Lord, I know it's a simple challenge from your word. I understand, Lord, but I believe this is a very profound truth, Lord, that if we could just continually recite the things that you've done on a regular basis in our lives, we would have more praise, we would have deeper joy, we'd have greater peace, Lord, if we saw you doing things personally in our lives. Father, we ask that you do great things in our church, in our church family, and in the weeks to come. But specifically, Lord, I pray for every individual in the pews here this morning that they would have a heart to say, Lord, do something through me. Lord, do a work in me. Do something special in me. Allow me to see you do great things. Help me to set some memorials along the way that I can look back on my life and say, only God could have done this. Only God could have answered this prayer. Only God could have fixed this situation. And Lord, we want to praise you for what you have done, and Lord, we want to praise you for what you're going to do. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I want to ask you just a few questions this morning.